You'll get some good shots and you'll feel really good after that.
All of your losing.
Good morning. It's a joy to welcome you to our Lord's Day service, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. Today is Pentecost Sunday. I'm standing behind our newly refurbished pulpit. This is the pulpit that our first pastor built in the mid-1850s. In the mid-1950s, it was rediscovered. It had gone into disrepair, and somebody thought it would be great to be chopped up for firewood. Well, fortunately, a member of our church saw the value in preserving historic objects and had this pulpit beautifully restored. A few months ago, we noticed some cracks in the pulpit, so it has been once again beautifully restored with the help of our painter, Todd Tesno. We're so grateful that we can continue the ministry behind this pulpit. Every pastor has been preaching behind this beautiful pulpit. We want to welcome Hal Halverson to our service today, and Tiggy Shields will be reading. Next week, on Memorial Day Sunday at 9 o'clock, there will be an opportunity for those who are in town to gather in person at the church cemetery for a service. And at 10 o'clock, we will be presenting a beautiful virtual service in honor of those who have given their lives in the service of our country. Let us now turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Our watchword for the week is taken from Psalm 104, verse 24. Our Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. Please join us as we sing, Come Now, O Lord. Thank you.
come now to that portion of worship where we bring our praise reports and our prayer concerns. For a praise report, we have been praying for Brianna and have learned that she has fully recovered from COVID-19. So we're so grateful for that. We want to remember Lucille in our prayers, who's had some health problems, and continued prayers for Annette and husband Jeff, Sarah, Dave, Chris and daughter Erin, Gail, Greg, Marguerite, Tammy, Jewel Ann, Ray, Kevin, Dean, Jack, Jaden, and Madeline. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful that we could be here today surrounded by your grace, by the ever-present Spirit of Almighty God. We're so grateful for Brianna's good report, and we ask that you would continue to bless, comfort, and shield her. We ask that you would be with our sister Lucille, that you would grant to her your strength. For all of those whom we have mentioned, who've had chronic illnesses, who were in hospice care, who struggle daily, we thank you that you have not abandoned them, that your grace is sufficient for every need. We bring ourselves before you today as we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans. We know that the whole creation has been groaning with labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, and in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Our second lesson is taken from the book of Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there was a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Dear men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reflection is written by Kathleen Harris, entitled "A Moment of Grace." The bird song in the tree above me on Ephraim's upper road was a jumble of high-pitched notes. "American redstart," I thought, and looked up. To my delight, I was correct. Identifying birdsong has always been a challenge, and the redstart has no helpful mnemonic phrase like the robin's cheerio. Dashes of orange marked the sides and wings of the coal-black redstart. The bird bounced along a branch, sallying forth every now and then with exuberant aerial acrobatics, grabbing startled insects. What a joy to see this feathered friend who'd flown all the way from Central America to our little village. Serendipity, too, for I had paused when I heard its call to look up. Warm memories of long ago May days, watching for redstarts and other warblers with dear ones who had since passed away, quickly pushed out this day's melancholy and let in bliss. "The Spirit helps us in our weakness," Paul wrote to the Romans. "We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us." Paul also wrote in 1 Timothy, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be neglected if it is received with gratitude." An ordinary black-topped road strung along a low bluff. Below it, deep thwacking sounds as men move dolostone boulders along the shoreline. Beside it, imagined echoes of children's laughter from a bright white pioneer schoolhouse. Above it, a joyful little bird with marks like flames and feathers dark as burnt offerings after the fire departs. A moment of grace. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In all my years of reading Old Testament texts, what I have discovered is that God loves a good party. And the more people that are involved, the happier God is. And perhaps that is why this season has been so difficult, because it's wired into our DNA to party with a lot of people. I'll read to you a passage in Deuteronomy that makes my point, and it's about Pentecost. Pentecost didn't start in the New Testament. It started way back with the Torah, and it was a command of God. God said, "You shall count 7 weeks. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time the sickle is first put to the standing grain. Then you shall keep the festival of weeks to the Lord your God, contributing a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing that you have received from the Lord your God. Rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, the Levite residents in your town, as well as the strangers, the orphans, and the widows who are among you, at the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt and diligently observed these statutes." So for centuries, our Jewish brothers and sisters got together in Jerusalem. Whoever could travel went to Jerusalem for a big party at Pentecost. And it was a time of rejoicing, and it was a time to bring everyone together. This was not a party for the elite. This was not a party for the religious. This was a party for everyone, including the stranger, including those who did not share the faith. It's a wonderful day. And so that day of Pentecost, thousands of years ago, pilgrims from all over would descend on little Jerusalem to have a really big party. And the thought was, if somebody could not afford to come, the community would pitch in so that everyone could join the party. So that's the scene and the first day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. But I have to tell you, there was a group that were in no mood to party. And those were the group of disciples. Jesus had just ascended to heaven, and he left them some cryptic instructions. He said, "You've got to stay in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes to you." Well, they had no idea what that meant. They had no idea what the next steps were. You remember last week when we talked about them wanting for the Jerusalem and Israel to be restored, and Jesus said, that's not in the cards. So all of their expectations gone out the window. Their leader has left them, and they have to figure out the next steps. And if you read earlier on, the first thing they did, which was really a good church thing, they had a business meeting. That's how they decided to conduct the business of the church, because they didn't know what else to do. But they did something very important. While they were waiting, they prayed, because they didn't know where God would lead them next. And so in that time of prayer, all of a sudden, God showed up. And he showed up as wind and flame. And the Spirit of Almighty God shook that place. And they began to speak in other languages. And with that commotion, people started to flock to the noise. And they heard them speaking and proclaiming God's word in their native tongue. And of course, in that crowd were the naysayers, were the negative people. Do you know anybody like that? You say something positive and they twist it around. Something wonderful happens and they say, yeah, but. And they just aggravate you and get on your last nerve. But we have to be thankful for the naysayers, because as they were joking and ridiculing and saying, oh, they're all drunk, that's what prompted Peter to get up and preach his first sermon, because somebody accused them, and probably quite a few people accused them of being drunk. And so he gets up to preach, and he says, oh, fellas, I have to correct you. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not drunk. And then he goes on to explain what has happened. And that pivotal verse when he says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's something I've learned from Pentecost, is that God desires all to come into the fold, and we are to invite everyone to this marvelous grace, this marvelous light. One other thing I learned, that after Pentecost, 3,000 people on that day signed up. Wasn't that wonderful? And wasn't it wonderful that we have a record of that marvelous day when the Spirit moved so powerfully? But something very interesting, if you read the book of Acts, they never went to that spot again to pray for another Pentecost. They never asked for fire and wind and flaming tongues to come to them. What they asked for was for the Spirit to move them and for them to go into that direction of wherever the Spirit sent, they wanted to be, and they wanted to be faithful to the Holy Spirit of God. Whether it was in a meeting and it was exciting, or whether it was when they were on the run because somebody was after them because of their testimony. However the Spirit moved, they wanted to be in that flow. And that's the same way we respond to the Holy Spirit of God. Wherever the Spirit takes us, that's where we want to be. It's wonderful to look back. It's wonderful to look at our heritage and to be so careful to sustain our heritage. That's not a bad thing. But we always want to be looking ahead to see where the Spirit is going to take us. And look at how the Spirit has moved in these 14 months. Rather than us pulling into ourselves and licking our wounds and saying, isn't it so awful? We can't be together in a crowd. Isn't it so awful? We can't do what we want. No, the Spirit has called us to get into places we couldn't get into before, people's homes, where the Word of God can be pronounced, where folks can feel that the sacred places are right in their living rooms. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And beyond the pandemic, God's Spirit is going to move the church. Now, it's not going to be easy because we don't know where, but it sure will be exciting. That's life in the Spirit. We'll still have our business meetings. We'll still want to pray and ask God to send us. But oh, are you ready when the winds of the Spirit move to get up and be within the Spirit's movements? Are you ready to pronounce grace to the next troubled situation? Are you ready to envelop people in love? Are you ready to invite someone else to the party? Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we ask that you would fall fresh on us, and may we be stirred to move within the currents of your Spirit in this day and time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the God who shakes heaven and earth, whose Spirit blows through the valleys and the hills, whom death could not contain, and who lives to bring us life, bless us with the power to endure, to hope, and to love. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.
Wonderful.
That was wonderful. Love that place.
Don, thank you.
And you were a very good voice.
My trifocals got in the way, though. You know, the distance is just, I just wasn't quite sure which way to look, you know, and all of a sudden, well, it held on, but you know what? It was starting to get a little, starting to feel it. So I appreciate it. Thank you for adjusting.
I'm so glad you could come.
And is there anything I can do to help?
But, oh, I did want to ask you, do I wait for scan to come, or do I contact them to get the volunteer form?
I would contact them, because if they haven't called you already, they were supposed to, because they had said something about, I gave them your stuff, your information, but that's why I sent you.
And should I go contact Joy, is that the one?
I would contact Joy and ask her who,
okay,
who to talk to.
That sounds good. I might just go by there.
Yeah, well, she had said to me, you know, before, like when we were in before, they were very loosey-goosey. I don't think they had any records, and now they're, I guess, with all the regulations, they have to have.
They were loosey-goosey. I have my name tag. It's probably still in the basket.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, she allowed me to come with the dog and everything, and the dog was never tested, never was licensed.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure they do that.
Yeah.
Boy, that's
been
beautiful.
Yeah, see how he did the inside.
Oh, that's
too.
My water. Walt, can you grab my water? Isn't that beautiful?
This your water?
Yeah, that's mine. I took it over there in case I got
it. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we had, there were two very long cracks in the front. We didn't even notice till Colin and I were taking stuff off because we wanted to drape open. And we saw this